present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Horrocks. Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with an advertisement from the Manchester Evening News, read by Brian Perkins.
Toilet tent, £10. Porta potty and chemical, £20. Windbreak, £10.
Thanks to John Tickle of Bolton for that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome on my right, Andy Hamilton, and a newcomer to the news quiz, Alistair Beaton. Challenging them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. And before we start round one, here's a cutting spotted in the Salisbury Journal.
Two men who got into Lloyd's Chemist and Blue Boar Row, Salisbury, and took two walking sticks were apprehended after being caught on closed circuit cameras doing Charlie Chaplin impersonations.
Thanks to Mrs. Jackie Tullock of White Parish near Salisbury for sending that in. Andy, who was beached in Brighton?
Can I just say something before we start, which is that I actually feel rather ashamed because I watched Tony Blair's speech this week and I thought, I've really tried over the years not to be a cynical person, and, you know. No, seriously, I have. I tried to be patriotic. I tried not to cheer when Juventus scored against Man United and stuff like that. And I watched Tony Blair and suddenly the scales fell from my eyes and I thought, he's right. So I'm going to answer this question in the way I feel he would want it answered and say that this answer is not just for me. I don't want my children to grow up in a nation without answers. Look, people often ask me, why do I say look in an apparently spontaneous way when it's up on autocue? Is it to do with Peter Mandelson?
Is it?
Well, Peter Mandelson failed to get a seat on the NEC because he's very unpopular.
He's minister without seat on the NEC.
And he's minister, yeah, that's right.
Minister without charm.
His official title is Minister Without Purpose. And he failed to win a seat, and he discovered he's unpopular. And there's, I mean, I think the simple way for him to become popular is to go away. But it's all right, because he said a bit of humility was good for him. He looked like he was chewing a wasp as he said it, but...
The only thing about Mandelson is I saw him in the House of Commons a while ago, and he's got an enormous great portfolio marked in gold letters, Minister Without Portfolio.
Well,
Peter Mandelson failed to get onto Labour's National Executive. Delegates were clearly wary about putting such a Machiavellian, sinister figure in a position of power. But they're stuck with Tony Blair now, so the last thing they want is Mandelson as well. Alistair, who won't we see by the deep blue sea?
I think we're going to be missing a very fine, wonderful performer at the Tory Party conference, namely Heza, who Major's going for a brief appearance, and he's then going on a lecture tour of the United States to speak about success. It's a rather odd thing to do, but so he's appearing for a day and then going to the States to talk about success. Peter Mandelson is going to talk about humility. Pol Pot's going to talk about compassion. And Heza isn't going at all.
How can Heseltine resist going to the Tory conference? Because he's got so much hair. He's got thick, lustrous, wavy, a quiff on each side. I mean, he could just stand for an hour running his fingers through that. Haig would sit there thinking, you bastard.
The former minister announced he couldn't go to Blackpool due to prior commitments. His diary for that week showed that all 5 days clash with his watching Ready Steady Cook. But at least on that, the bloke in charge of the vegetables has a 50-50 chance of winning. 2 points to Alistair. Jeremy, who administered another own goal?
This will be Tony Banks of the News Quiz, now Minister of Sport. Who upset anti-abortion campaigners by likening fetuses to William Hague. And for years, anti-abortion campaigners have been trying to prove that the fetus is a sentient being that knows exactly what's going on. And so, to compare them to the leader of the Conservative Party has done their cause no end of harm.
I was sickened by that, because when he compared Hague to a fetus, I thought about it, and I thought,
It's possible. And what would he grow into?
The story refers to Tony Banks, the gaff Prime Minister of Sport, who's upset his government with a list of embarrassing howlers. He actually declared that England had little chance of winning the World Cup, the national side might improve if it signed foreign players, and Australia produces the best cricketers. But we don't have a list of his howlers. Alan, your piece of music. Was sailing by the Royal Regiment of Fusiliers. Alan, who floated an idea for refloating the Royals?
Oh, is it Theresa? The Queen wants it scrapped. It's about the Britannia. And it has been suggested that it be reclaimed by one of our shining beacons, probably Blair, new yacht. And he wants to, of course, being a true socialist he is, he wants to let it out for business conferences and things like that.
He's going to actually replace it with two people's yachts, I've heard, which are going to be hired out to people, ordinary people, like the Queen.
I didn't understand that compassion with an edge. You say how awful it must be to live in that cardboard box. Let me burn it down for you. I don't quite know what it means. Mm.
I don't want to live in a country that's a beacon. It's going to be very hard to get to sleep.
The story was about Britannia's replacement, which will be smaller and cheaper than her predecessor, so in future, royal cruises will only last until a man with a megaphone shouts, "Come in, number 24, your time is up." And scores at the end of round one are, everybody, 4 points. Andy, which fair dodge was deemed fair enough?
Was this about Paris?
No.
No.
Good.
It's not the two lesbian lovers who...
No.
Given a... Oh,
that
ah, this is the bus driver, I think. their wages were being docked £100 a week, and so they diddled the company out of a great deal of money, and the judge said they could keep it, and they were bound over or something, or they were discharged, were they?
They were being paid so miserably that the judge had an outbreak of social justice.
Mm.
No, they could keep it.
Does that mean
on which basis we could take the microphones home, I think.
Yeah.
Alistair, who can no longer afford to suffer for the arts?
We're all about to have a very, very serious loss to our national culture in the form of Lord Gowrie, who can't stand all these free tickets anymore and is packing it in from the Arts Council. Could that be it?
It is, indeed, yeah.
Can I just say that when Alistair said the words Lord Gowrie, a wave of... Who's that? Went round the audience.
I didn't realise that Conservative Lords were allowed to run things they hadn't privatised themselves.
Lord Gowrie is resigning as the chairman of the Arts Council. He once famously refused a position in Mrs Thatcher's government on the grounds that he couldn't possibly live in London on a ministerial salary. This caused great amusement amongst his Tory colleagues. None of them lived in London on a ministerial salary either. They just used it to top up whatever came in the brown paper envelopes. Jeremy, your piece of music. Jeremy, how did sapphic discrimination hit the buffers?
This is a story about a woman who's lesbian who worked for South West Trains. And if you work for South West Trains, you're allowed to have a free travel pass for yourself and your partner. And so she said, "Can I have a travel pass for my partner, please?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh, well, hang on, she's a woman." And she said, "Yeah, I know that if you're a lesbian, that tends to be the case. That's sort of the point, really." And they said, "But that's against the laws of God in England." And she said, "No, it's not." And so she went to Europe with Cherie Booth, who has another career besides being married to Billy Graham. she's a QC, and she won for them, fair play. And she, so they got their compensation.
The case was fought by the Prime Minister's wife, Cherie Booth. It's not her first involvement in fighting homophobia, as she is a well-renowned Queen's Counsel. Southwest trains have a history of blatant discrimination against people who like to travel in some comfort and arrive on time. Alan, where are the odds of driving cleanly even?
It's in Paris. It didn't work, did it? It's extremely complicated. It's rather like the rules of Monopoly or something. On odd days, if you've got an even number on your number plate in Paris, you can't go into Paris unless you have three people in the car, one of whom is a doctor, or you're a member of the Élysée Palace, or you're a bureaucrat, or you're a member of the Defence Forces or the police. It's like those things you always see in the Paris metro, where you have to give up your seat to everyone, and it starts with pregnant women and gets down to mutilated gear. They haven't had a gear for God knows how long, but they've done up all these rules and regulations, and only about three people infringe them, and they didn't find those anywhere.
They do a thing here where nobody is allowed to drive if they've got a personalised number plate. Anyone who's got Rich Burke 1 on their car, you just stop them and drag them out of the car and turn it over and set fire to it and say, here's one for the environment.
The authorities in Paris have halved the number of motor vehicles in the city by imposing a ban each day according to an odd or even licence number. The only effect has been to increase traffic as motorists drive to number plate shops to buy a second set. The Paris police say the system is still in its teething stages, but they're pleased with the way it's going. They've considered applying the ban alphabetically, but drew the line at stopping cars to examine French letters. The scores at the end of round two are Andy and Alistair 6, but Alan and Jeremy nosing into the lead with 8 points. And round three begins with a cutting from the Daily Mail.
Thrift tips. Before discarding unwanted old clothing, cut off all the buttons and trimmings for future use. If the clothes are still in good condition, give them to a local charity.
Thanks, Ray Holmes of Linton, Devon, for that. Andy, how might a bar stress?
I think I've read this story before, that chocolate contains things in it that counter depression. And I've quoted that story many times as I've stuffed 14 bounties down me during the course of a day. And apparently it's got things that stimulate whatever that stuff is, serotonin or whatever it is, and
happiness.
Good way of countering depression.
And tons of it are delivered to the Labour Party conference.
Yeah, and fed intravenously into the... And it was a survey carried out by Professor Cadbury, and...
Chocolate, it's got everything. It's got caffeine and cannabinoids, which is cannabis, and amphetamines in it. So it helps you work, rest and play.
Yeah. What's more, Jeremy, is British chocolate, which is a beacon to the world.
Mm. Put a smile on Marion Faithfull's face, didn't it?
I never believed that story.
Nor did I. Thank
you. It's the news that eating chocolate can be a good antidote to stress. It can also provide aerobic exercise while reducing calorie intake. Simply go to a railway station, put a coin in the vending machine, you'll do a 10-minute workout, dancing, hitting, kicking the machine, and you won't get to eat a thing. Alistair, your piece of music. Alistair, why might girls with rings be in for the count?
Well, actually, they're out for the count. They were going to be in for the count, and quite wisely, they changed their mind at the last moment. I think this is about two 13-year-old girls who were going to go into the boxing ring, until it was decided this was much too shocking and no kind of equality at all. But it seems to me very odd in a week where an 11-year-old is allowed to appear at the Labour Party conference and make a speech saying how wonderful summer schools are. 14-year-olds, I think, turned up at the Lib Dems last week. Next week it has gone so far that a fetus will appear at the Conservative Party.
Yeah, she said she's pulled out because the publicity was doing her head in.
The men in control at the Amateur Boxing Association explained that theirs had not been a rash decision. They'd put a lot of thought into teenage girls in gym slips grappling round a ring, but then don't we all from time to time? Experts are divided over a minimum age for boxers, though they do agree that the sport does wonders to keep you young. Just think of all those 40-year-old boxers who retire with the mental ability of a 7-year-old. Jeremy, who showed their Catholic taste in music?
Oh, to celebrate Jewish New Year, the Pope invited Bob Dylan to do a gig, and the Pope sat there with his little white yarmulke on, and they had Rosh Hashanah together. He looked pretty nonplussed by subterranean homesick blues sitting in the back room. He looked marginally more alert than Bob Dylan. He fell off the stage and broke his hip and is now in sheltered accommodation.
The Pope invited Bob Dylan to play because he wanted to get in touch with young people.
Yes, it was a performance at the Catholic Woodstock, a global gathering of young Catholics attended by the Pope. This frail old figure who still inspires fanatical religious devotion looked confused and out of place as he was greeted by Pope John Paul II. This was followed by an outbreak of speaking in tongues as 25 different languages all shouted, "Where's the nearest exit?" Alan, who tied the knot with the gas man, thanks to the postman.
Ah, the man called Clegg, the 75-year-old head of the gas board who had a sort of windfall shag. He bought himself a woman in Thailand, cashed in all his gas shares, and this 23-year-old Thai woman arrived, didn't speak any English at all. Yeah, he was rather good, though. Well, he said, "Oh, I wanted the last decade of my life to be the fastest." And I thought that was really rather good. I'm going like a trip hammer.
I hope she's turned on by rubber sheets, anyway. And he said she's no raving beauty.
I expect she was attracted by his beacon.
Well, as long as he's got compassion with a hard edge.
The story concerns Brian Clegg, the 75-year-old former chairman of Northern Gas, who married a mail-order Thai bride of 23. The lucky lady is very keen to get her hands on a visa. That's not the credit card, by the way. She already has got her hands on his flexible friend. But the scores at the end of round three are, excitingly, Andy and Alistair 10, but Alan and Jeremy still in the lead with 12 points. And before we start the final round, here's a story seen in The Independent.
Alistair Napier, new managing director of Houghton Stewart, reveals that the UK's biggest plant hirer is spreading into agriculture with tractors that can measure the productivity of the operator. He added, at the other end of the scale, they're also hiring out more toilets, so there's also growth in the bottom end of the market.
Thanks to Chris Sladen of Woodstock, Oxford. Andy, your piece of music. Andy, who wouldn't be shown the door after showing a door?
Has it got anything to do with a heart or glass? Can we just narrow it down a bit?
Well, glass is certainly...
Glass.
Jeremy has the answer, actually.
Yeah, does he?
Well, if you haven't, there's not...
Go, Jeremy, go.
Go, Jeremy. Jeremy, put me out of
misery. It was the double glazing salesman who wouldn't leave.
Oh, yes, yes. No, I do know that, funnily enough.
Think no, you didn't.
I don't want to be competitive and aggressive about it, but I do know this story. Yeah,
you want to be caring and giving.
I am caring and giving... with a hard edge. What it was, a double glazing salesman came round, and he tried to sell this woman some stuff and some doors, and she said, "Thank you very much, but I'd rather not," and then he wouldn't leave. He just sat there, and then she said, "My son's upstairs, and he's big and burly and 6 feet tall," and the son came down and asked him to leave, and he wouldn't leave, and in the end they got the police to come and eject him. But the really funny part of this story was that she then rang to complain, and the boss of the firm came round and tried to sell us some doors.
Double-glazing salesman Robert Rickleby had to be arrested after refusing to leave a potential customer's home. He'd come to show Patricia McCoy a new back door, but halfway through his pitch, she changed her mind, saying the whole thing would be nothing more than a big pain in her back passage. When the police finally arrived, they took him off to the station where he was held overnight, giving him just enough time to convince the duty officer that he really did need a conservatory built onto the back of the canteen. Next day, he was up in court where he was bound over to keep the peace for 6 months, but he refused to leave the dock until he got the option to serve the sentence in convenient monthly instalments. So, 1 point each there, and Alistair, who took a trip to the dry cleaners and nearly picked up a divorce suit?
Oh, well, this is a very tragic story. There's a man who went to the dry cleaners to collect his trousers, and when he got home, a pair of earrings fell out, and his wife drew, I think, a perfectly reasonable conclusion that he was doing it with somebody else. And he's so upset about this that he's put out an advertisement saying, if you find a pair of earrings and they look like this, please claim them, because I would never ever be unfaithful to my wife, and he's spending money on these ads. And I find it all distinctly unlikely, almost as unlikely, I think, as Neil Hamilton's claim this week. Has anybody noticed that? That he's found a lost diary, which proves that he never met Muhammad Al-Fayed. Which is extraordinary, isn't it? Because you open this diary and it says Saturday, 18th of September, did not go to Harrods. Did not have lunch with Mr. Al-Fayed. Did not take a brown paper envelope from anybody.
The dry cleaners have said they've no idea how the earrings could have wound up in the wrong trousers. Perhaps the owner is suffering from grommets. Mr. Kerr says he's absolutely right to be furious, and he is not the kind of man to take it in his strides. He's launched a campaign to find the owner of the earrings. It shouldn't be too difficult. She'll be the one wearing a used bus ticket and a pair of wide fronts on her ears. Jeremy, where did a little tyke have a brush with disaster?
I think my friend knows.
I'm your friend, Jeremy.
The Yorkshire Terrier that got sucked up by a street sweeper. Then serves the people right. That means I mean, it's like a dish rag anyway. I hate those dogs. They're horrible. It was there in the gutter, looking like a sort of hirsute turd, and this thing came out. And it talked for a bit, and said, I don't fancy this, and spat it back. I think it's all right now, dog lovers.
And under new Labour legislation, the parents will also be fined for allowing the Yorkshire Terrier to be vacuumed up on the street.
Yes, the incident happened in Union Street, Swansea, where shoppers gasped in horror as a Yorkshire Terrier was swept up by a road cleaning machine. But rather than getting sucked inside, it popped back out and scampered off. Witnesses say the terrier was amongst rubbish in the path of the machine. It was presumably sniffing round for dog ends. The Times newspaper described it as being like krill crushed in the jaws of a blue whale. Though very strangely, nowhere in their natural history supplement is a feeding Arctic whale likened to a Yorkshire Terrier being sucked up by Swansea Road Cleansing Department. The dog's owners are very pleased to have him back. Before he got sucked up by the vacuum pipe, he used to have fur balls. But he certainly hasn't now. Alan, who went on a mystery Tour de France?
A man got on a bus and ended up in France. He got on the number 28 and was taken across the channel.
Do you know the story? Well, I think it might be an old-age pensioner who missed the bus in France and had to cycle home. He cycled 600 miles because he could see the beacon. He was going through France and he said, which way is it to Britain? And they said, alors, it's over there where you see the beacon. That is England.
If he was on a bike, why did he have a bike with him? You can't get buses to France anyway. They're not aquatic. Hovercraft you can get to France.
Eurostar.
Yeah. Balloon. Trains diverted from Doncaster on a Sunday.
So 2 points to Alice. So this was the cycling pensioner Ken Ballard who missed his bus home from the south of France and spent 12 days pedalling home, eating nothing but bread and milk. He was found by the French when he hadn't washed for 5 days, so they offered him naturalised citizenship. Cynicism died on May the 1st, as our leader told us. Eventually, after 800 miles in the saddle, Ken returned to his small holding in Norfolk, where he's tending a couple of acres. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
It's very kindly sent in by Mr. David Davis of Scarborough. American courtroom language is as strange as our own. Massachusetts Bar Association Lawyers Journal printed a list of questions actually asked of witnesses by lawyers during trials. Question. Now, Doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know it until the next morning? And from another trial. Question. Were you present when your picture was taken? Question. Did he kill you? Another one. Question. How many times have you committed suicide? And finally, question. You were not shot in the fracas. Answer. No, I was shot midway between the fracas and the navel.
Alistair.
Well, I'd like to drag the standard back up to the normal news quiz standard with this one, which has been sent in by Phil Wade from Abingdon. The two smugglers could not wriggle out of their subterfuge when customs officers in Texas noticed mysterious writhing bulges in their underpants. They were made to drop their trousers. Stuffed in their Y fronts were a mass of rare snakes they had brought illegally from Mexico. One of the snakes was a boa constrictor. But fortunately, it was not in their underwear. Prosecutor Robert Dugdale told the Los Angeles court, boa constrictors squeeze. Jeremy.
This comes from the Cheltenham edition of the Gloucestershire Echo. Otters make a comeback. The first otter has been found in the country for 25 years. The Gloucestershire Wildlife Trust has found the body of a dead male adult otter at Stonebench near Quedgeley. It had been run over. Experts say it is the best evidence that otters are becoming established in Gloucestershire again.
Alan.
I have one from the Western Daily Mail, Simon. It says, a Bristol woman was fined £100 in order to pay costs after she broke off part of a plaster replica of Michelangelo's David, which had, yes, which adorns the Trattoria Fiorentina in Park Row. Mrs. Elizabeth Morton, conducting her own defence, told the court that she had felt uncomfortable sitting so close to the nude statue, but that when she asked for another table, the waiter had laughed and done something suggestive with a breadstick.
Thank you all, and now let's look at the final scores. Alan and Jeremy have 15 points, but Andy and Alistair have staged an astonishing comeback to have 15 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Manchester Evening News sent in by Paul Chiswell of Warrington.
A condom machine in the Grinch Cafe in Manchester contains lager and lime flavoured condoms. A warning reads, don't drive while using the product.
That's all for this week. Until the next time, goodbye. Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Carr and Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and Alistair Beaton. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Ian Pattinson with Hugh Roycroft and David Spicer. The producer was John Roth. Yeah.